from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. A podcast that wants to welcome you to the clubhouse that has no walls, no doors, no ceiling, no clubhouse, and no membership rules. Everyone's welcome, especially you. This is the clubhouse. And it's a podcast. It's a podcast to put you to sleep. Welcome to Sleep With Me. Hey, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Also want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode, did the theme music. Scotty and Jennifer, honor artwork. Matt Deer Scooter on Twitter. Oh, I forgot about the Mystery Bard. Get me on Twitter. That's the best way to get a hold of me, at Deer Scooter. Mystery Bard is Jonathan Mann on the Lullabies. Now mixed up. If you have a smart speaker, make sure you have the TuneIn or Spotify skilled enabled to podcast on both those locations and Google Play. And listeners have a Facebook group at sleepandbepodcast.com/nods, NODS. I want to thank Julian, Jennifer, Stacy, Laura, and Keith, and Summer and Sarah, who nod right over there. Thank you so much. And let's keep the show going. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, or trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. And we're going to do the rest. I'm going to do the rest or whatever. I'm going to try to create a safe place. We're going to do it together, actually. We are going to do it together. We're going to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, thinking in your thinker, feelings, feeling their way around you, saying, well, she's like, physical sensations, noises, changes in routine, travel, events, any kind of events, event planning, obviously that's, or if event planners, you could have an event planner, that could be a whole nother thing. You could be an event planner. You could be named event planner, and that would be its own. I mean, that would be a lot of sleepless nights. I can see why. If you say, "Why'd you?" Because I guess the first question would be, "Why'd your parents name you that?" And I guess after, at first kindergarten or first grade, you might not totally understand. You'd be like, "Well, that's my name," or be like, "Well, because." But then around third or fourth grade, it would get pretty tiring, I bet. There would be a time in high school, if you embraced it, where it would be pretty sweet to be event planner. Then in college, it would be fantastic. That would be like, they'd be like, have you met event planner? Be like, no, they haven't come by. Like, I've never met them. I've heard about them. Oh, they are the best. Event planner is just, I can't wait till they come over. So anyway, let me get back to the listeners here. So I'm going to try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you awake. And the way I'm going to create that safe place, we're going to create it together. We always have, I think, in some sense. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. You've already seen a few. I'm going to plan an event, but you really can't plan. I'm going to set, that's what I mean, is create a safe place. You really can't plan an event for bed. People have tried. People sell stuff all the time. Well, this will put you asleep, whatever. This podcast is a little bit different. If you're new here, welcome. A couple of things. I'll give you the structure, and I'll give you the few things you need to know about this show. It's a little bit different, clearly. You probably already figured that out. A couple things about the show. It's a podcast. You don't really need to listen to it too closely. It's meant to take your mind off stuff, engage you enough so that you, whatever's been keeping you awake, be kind of entertaining-ish. But you don't have to listen closely. But it's also a sleep podcast where you're not supposed to fall asleep. You can fall asleep whenever you do, whenever you wish, but if for some reason you can't, I'll be here the whole time keeping you company. And I won't be the other one. That's what I mean, we create a safe place, but I'll come back to that in a second. Structurally, like the show is, top of the show is 5 or 6 minutes of business. If you're new, not that important. If you're a regular listener, please listen to that stuff. Really important to keep the show free and archives free, essential actually. But if you're new, not that important. And like then after that business and the credits and everything, we have these intros, which are somewhere, I think I said this last week, like somewhere like recently, like 11 minutes or 14 minutes or 12, somewhere 16, 14, maybe sometimes 10 minutes, somewhere in that range. One of those, or some, you know, sometimes it'll be 26 seconds, you know, 10 minutes, 41 seconds, somewhere in that range. And you say, geez, that's just the intro for the show. When do you get to the story? Well, the story part, you could skip ahead to it. I put it in the show notes about the time the story starts. But this is become an essential part of the show, this long intro. Some people, you know, brush their teeth and stretch to it. Some people fluff their pillows. But it really, it kind of sets the mood. And for new people, it says, okay, what am I going to expect here? It's some serious nonsense. But I would say also, and I don't know if this is the right word for conundrum, and because I overuse paradox, but a kind of a strange digital conundrum here, because I make the podcast. I put it out 3 times a week. I work really hard on the show to be consistent and to be here on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights. But there's all these other people listening to the show, and not everybody's listening at the exact same time, but there's a big enough audience that at any moment that you're listening to the show, there's other people that are listening too. And when I say conundrum, I guess I mean, like, probably I don't mean it, like, it's something I don't understand how it works, even though I make this podcast. I don't believe it makes any sense, but the fact that all these people are listening, even though I make the show and the editors help edit the show and Farrell helps put out the show, my network, and there's a bunch of people that work there very hard, and Carl and Chris Posterson work very hard, and Jonathan, everybody, but that, like, by putting it out there, I don't know if it gets amplified or I don't know, there's a bunch of other people, you know what I mean? There's some sort of, like, it's a conundrum. I don't even know how to explain it. I guess I can explain it since you're not alone. I mean, that's why I make the show. And that's why I always say I'm a goo brain. I'm not a guru. I'm no guru, but I'm a goo brain. But it's like, it's, somehow this podcast, I don't know. I guess, like, I'm doing my best to explain it because and I'm in a conundrum now. I know that's the right, like, I've said I'm going to explain something and I don't know how to explain it. But we make this show together because there's some heart, like a shared thing with this podcast. And if you're new, there's also no pressure to, because it's a passive partaking in that shared experience. So, and it doesn't work for everybody, unfortunately. I mean, it's like, maybe I should go back to what was that jokey stuff I was doing earlier? That was a little bit easier. Oh, event planner. If event planner was here, they would wow you because they don't, like, they say, well, actually, it's not quite a paradox. It's the other word that you're looking for. Like, event planner would know that. But I guess that's one of the struggles at bedtime is you can plan it all you want, and a lot of us do, and it is a big part of it. For me, a bedtime routine is very important to kind of set it up, at least to increase the likelihood the chatter is going to get a little bit lower in my brain, and I'm going to feel a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more settled, and then I'm going to drift off into sleep. But sometimes it is like it doesn't make any sense. You say, geez, I don't know why I can't fall asleep tonight. I'm not even stressed. And I had a banana at 4:30 or whatever you're supposed to do, you know, like I rubbed, you know, don't rub banana juice on your forehead, but, you know, in the giant crevice in my furrow, brow furrow crevice, or whatever you want to call that, frown lines, I've got those, I get frown ditches, had those since I was at, like, about 14, but, yeah, they had character. You're right, event planner, you really know how to turn things around. Event planner, Ode to Event Planner. Such a great name. It was so tough for you in grammar school and even middle school. But once you got to high school and you learned that your name, and I don't even know the backstory of, like, because I'm not going to ask, because I know you've always been asked. It just has a ring to it when it's a first and last name, Event Planner, and you take it out of the context of event planning. Oh, event, she's so spontaneous, that event planner. That would be funny. It would be, I could see you laughing. Never mind. I think I almost asked event planner out on a date, and it's a figment of my imagination, so I don't know which is stranger. But that pretty much gives you a pretty good flavor of the podcast if you're new. And I guess I'm glad you're here. I say that a lot. I usually say it at the very end. To kind of share in this thing. If you have trouble sleeping, I've been there in the deep, dark night, lying there, tossing and turning. Struggling, I would say, is a understatement of how it feels. And I really think everybody deserves a good night's sleep because it's tough out there. It is really hard. And it'd be nice for you, and I hope this podcast can help you. And if not, you know, you can email me. I could say, hey, well, I've tried these other things, or this is my bedtime routine, or whatever. Because I know, and that's why I make this show, and I work so hard at it, so it's here consistently 3 times a week for you. So if you're new, and this is your first episode, give the show a few tries. I mean, if you immediately are having a reaction, I guess it wouldn't be immediate anymore because you've been listening about 16, 17 minutes. But, you know, it's no pressure for it to work for you or for you like it. But give it a few tries. A lot of reviewers, a lot of listeners, you know, they like even event, you know, this podcast is the only podcast endorsed by Event Planner. Event Planner and Event Planner. Also Event Planner. Her, endorsement is pending, Yvette Planner, and also Iset Panier, but I say, I call it a panner anyway, but that's also pending, and there's probably a couple other ones out there, so I'm going to have all my bases covered, but as they say every episode, or as many, when I can, you know, most of the time, is I'm glad you're here. I work hard, I strive, and I yearn to help you fall asleep. So thank you so much for coming by.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments.
And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to part two of our Blue Light special episodes. I guess I'll get you caught up, though, in case you slept through the last episode or you didn't even hear it. You don't need to. I'll catch you up on everything, maybe ideally put you to sleep while I'm catching you up. But if not, I'll recount the events of the last episode, the first Blue Light special episode. I was recounting my love of Morally Safer, and then saying, well, realistically, is it, you know, I covered that stuff. Is it more, you know, Scooch, is this real? Is it like is it fiction, your imagination going wild? And I said, yes, possibly yes to all of those. But Morally Safer and I, you know, we were back on track in Florida. This is the first episode of this. It's just a two-parter. This is part two. And we were investigating. Mostly I'd pitched Morally, who also assumes my name is Derek. I pitched Morally and investigating a story. This was years ago, but recounting the story recently, that the blue light in devices that keeps you awake at night, that affects your sleep, the rise of blue light in devices that, you know, send out blue light, was also related somehow to the decline of Kmart, the originator of the blue light special. And whether it was to humor me or because he believed it, Morally and I went to Florida Kmart's and got on the case of the blue light. And quickly it became apparent that our old enemies, the Plutonians, were involved, and that they were gathering blue lights at a central location in Florida to use for some nefarious means, probably to keep us up later than our bedtimes, but we haven't got to that part yet. And Morally and I tracked them to a commercial, like, warehouse in a, you know, office park, and where we found thousands upon thousands of blue lights and the Plutonians, who either are disguised as giant bunny rabbits or are giant bunny rabbits. And also Morally was, I think as the episode concluded, first we went to bed, but right before we went to bed, Morally seemed ready to turn against me and the people of Earth. But then we wanted to sleep. And when I woke up the next day, because it was a warehouse and there was no natural light, I didn't know what time it was. And I noticed the blue lights were whirring. So now we're back to episode two of Blue Light Special. And I'd woken up and I looked around and Morally was standing in the middle of the room. And in the warehouse, through the, you know, office windows, we were sleeping in one of those offices within a warehouse. The blue lights were going and they were shining on Morally's face. And Morally was standing there, and Morally went out walked out of the office, and I was still, you know, in bed, and I had I'd taken my pants off, so it took me a little while to get myself together, like, otherwise I would, you know, if I was, I didn't immediately hop to action, so I put my pants on, then I took them back, then I went and, used the restroom, washed my face. There was actually toothbrush and toothpaste in there, unopened. So I brushed my teeth, really freshened up. I really felt like I needed coffee. But first I needed to get to the bottom of things. And Morally was standing out there in front of three, bigger than human bunny rabbits, and with blue fur. And I saw he was talking to us, probably missing some important things. So then I ran out. I realized I hadn't put my shirt on, though. and I'd wash my face, and I dribbled a toothpaste out of, like, and I guess toothpaste was still in my, like, a half-bearded, unshaven face. And when I got out there, Morley was, he said, yes, as he had said last episode, he was still explaining to the Plutonians that he was ready to join them. And I said, Morley, what are you doing? Like, can you start, what did you do while I was gone, like, for the last 4 minutes? What did I miss? And one of the Plutonians cackled and said, Mr. Safer has joined us, and we were just about to fill him in on how you've deceived him, Derek, if that is your real name. And Morley said, it is his real name. And they said, it is not, Mr. Safer. No wonder you want to join us. And then they told him that I wasn't Derek, and that I wasn't, the reliable, trustworthy. And, you know, of course, Morley said, Derek, no. And then there was, like, a little bit of an old school comedy routine that I'll skip over, where Morley kept forgetting my name, even after I'd broken his heart, apparently, in his will to remain a part of humanity. And he kept saying, no, Derek. And then they say, his name is Scoots or Drew, which do you prefer? And then he couldn't get it. He couldn't get my name. And then I said, well, like, first the bunny said, did you spill toothpaste and forget to put your shirt? I said, no, I'm foaming at the mouth. I'm so upset with you, Morley. I can't believe you turned. I said, what would, Glenn Greenwald and Eddie Snowden and Leslie Stahl say to this? And then they said, just like out of the worst possible situation, especially because I still didn't have a shirt on, out of the shadows stepped Glenn Greenwald, Leslie Stahl, and Eddie Snowden, bathed in blue light. Or were they? Was everything gone blue? And they said, we are, they were already hit, like the blue light was shining in their eyes. So I figured it was the blue light. The problem was there's about 10,000 blue lights, so otherwise I would have shut it off. And they said, we've decided to join the Plutonians too. And they stood to the side of Morley and looked at me. And I said, I can't believe you're doing it. I said, what about humanity? And then the rabbits, they started to talk about their plans. And they brought me over to this giant machine that was like somehow just distilling the blue light. It was making a lot of noise, and there was blue light, like, it was somehow sucking in the blue light, and then it was, making a bunch of whirring noises and reflecting everything. But then the blue light was being concentrated. Very cool. I said, you know who would like this was Nikola Tesla. And then it was going into something and then, like, getting concentrated by this machine. You know, it had, like, different, it just looked like one of those distillation machines. Like, it had, like, the circles, and, you know, like pulsating, all those things. And I said, what are you doing? You're distilling the blue light and injecting it into our devices? And the rabbits laughed. And then and I said, Morley, Derek. I said, it's not Derek. I said, it's Scoots, Leslie. But they were all like mesmerized by the blue light. And I said, Glenn, what about all your dogs? What would they say now that you're part of? And then the rabbits brought them rabbit suits, and they started putting them on. And I said, Eddie, no. I said, we have the same hair. And they said, take your shirt off, Eddie. Like, I said, let's see if we have the same body hair, too. And then they all put on bunny suits. And then I said, okay, wait a second. I was about to figure out your plans. I said, so you're taking all the Kmart blue light, you're concentrating it or distilling it down, and then you're not injecting it into our devices to keep us up at night? And they said, even better. And then they said, why don't you follow current events? And I said, because they get on my nerves. And they said, no. And I said, oh, like work backwards through current events. And I said, I can't. I said, this is like, I don't tell those kind of stories. And I said, are you injecting the blue light into the, like, right into Twitter and Facebook, aren't you, and all those other places? And then the bunnies laughed, and then I noticed everyone was a bunny. And I thought to myself, without, you know, I was really pushed to my limits, because I said, without Glenn Green, like, without Morley, and then without, like, you know, mostly Leslie Stahl, no offense to Glenn Greenwald and Eddie Snowden, but other than Morley, the person that makes me feel most, I don't know, just really she instills a lot of confidence in me. But now seeing her in a bunny suit, and these were good bunny suits, so immediately I didn't know who was who, including the Plutonians. And I said, what are you up to? And they said, oh, no. And they said, well, I don't have any more. And then I remembered all the podcast intros I did, hundreds of podcast intros, where the punchline was something having to do with me sticking my head in a, you know, in a particle collider or a particle accelerator. And while this was a blue light, like a distillerator, you know, I said, oh, I said, I see now what I have to do. And I dove right into the distiller, right in with the blue lights. And unfortunately, like the first time I aimed wrong, because it was a reflection. So that caused, I gave myself a little bump on the noggin. But then I realized I had to go around the side. And the bunny, you know, the rabbits, luckily, there was a lot of bumping into one another, because they're not exactly, especially people in rabbit suits, that aren't used to being in giant rabbit suits. So I was more agile. I wasn't as agile as a bunny. I was agile as investigative reporters in rabbit suits. And but anyway, so I was able to go around and then dive into the blue lights. And then I even heard Morley again, not know my, he said, Derek, no, no. Like, and I said, for a second, I thought, he was faking it the whole time, just like I should have known. But it was too late. And too late to change my mind. And there was a great flash of blue, and there was whirring. And then there was it was spinning. Like, somehow, of course, I got on the essence of the Kmart blue light, swirling round and round. Then there was the classic thing where every trip to Kmart of my entire life, I relived those. And there was many more trips there than I thought I had experienced. I mean, I shared the one episode where I would go, where I bought the Kmart earrings for my arranged girlfriend. And then there was other trips by candy before going to the movies. I remember, I think I got a Trapper Keeper, but then there was times getting school clothes, doing general shopping, getting clothes for my siblings, birthday presents. Even a couple of times I mixed up Ames and Kmart, which caused a pink light to just jut in and give me a little wake up, like a wake up tickle, we'll say. And then I started, you know, like I actually, even though this was like a flashback montage that I was experiencing, I wasn't totally paying attention, because it was like a lot of boring trips to Kmart, like when I would hide in between the racks on my mother. So then I felt like that I remembered. Then I actually was like doing that. And I was saying to the other parts, I said, you want to play hide and seek in Kmart? And then it was cool because it was Kmart bathed in blue light. It was a little bit darker. So then I was playing hide and seek, which was very challenging. I guess then what you do is you just check everything closed. You just stick your arm in there until you find it. So it was fun for a little while. And then we raced around, so this was me and alternative universe me's, and then we were racing around. Then we did a lot of things you'd imagine, you know, like a diving into candy displays. That was fun. Break dancing, we did that. Then the blue lights start up again. I realized, then I had to go, then this is when I wasn't paying attention, because it was like the history of Kmart, I think. I don't even remember what happened. I think I relived all of that. But like it went back and forth, and then I realized the essence of the issue was I started experiencing some blue light blues or blue light woe. I would definitely call it blue light woe, but blue light blues sounds so much better. But it was definitely woe, because woe is a little bit more of a distilled version of the blues, I think. And I was noticing the blue light blues from the corporate like thing, but also from the customer, that the blue light is supposed to trigger, you know, that it had this multi-pronged psychological approach to get you to spend money. And then I was experiencing things in an empathetic and compassionate way as the blue light, as the impartial observer and causer of woe. And I think Joey Lawrence would have said woe, because it was deep. It was deep, like, and I that was the one time I said, wait a second, did I, I'm so sober, I didn't take any mushrooms or anything. But it was definitely that, like, level of near spiritual experience, because I was standing, like, this, I felt like it was a little bit, I don't want, this might be a jump in the use of this word, but I did feel like it was Dickensian. I was standing, observing the blue light, observing families dealing with blue light specials in different circumstances, the wide diversity of Kmart customers over a wide span of time. And the whole time, like a strange bird or an eye on a pole or a light on a pole or like a bizarre, flamingo on another planet watching the woe, mostly remembering the woe. And the blue light didn't have any capacity to do anything with it other than whir and turn and circularly cause it and... I said, what was being cut? And I said, oh, probably the lead poles, because they have these big, thick lead poles. Or maybe, you know, the fake wood cabinets. And that was an experience, man. And at some point I was hugging, like, again, I think this was all happening in the machine or within my mind or both at the same time. Then I went into a whole nother world. Again, this is where I said, get Chuck Dickens on. Remember we used to call him, remember that time I called him Chuck Dix? We could have used, that would be someone that would write fiction that takes place at Kmart, Chuck Dix. And there we were. I was drinking at the Kmart Cafe with blue lights, and I had my arms around him. Then I was striking up a romance with one blue light and dancing with her or him or they. And spinning it around at Kmart, and then living a fake, you know, like the years of our life, like a whole lifetime of a relationship within a Kmart in a montage, which was pretty easy to do, actually. I mean, first there was the dancing and the kissing, and if there was ever a strange marketing object to dance with and romance with, other than a humanoid one, blue light, if you've never danced with the blue light, under blue light, within blue light, concentration, distillation machine, you really haven't lived, because then I was spinning around, and you could do, like, really hold it in your arms, if you fantasize about dancing with flamingos, it's not that different. And just a long enough neck for you to plant a kiss and put your hand behind the head of the light. Even there was times I was still, the times that Kmart did have a wig section, putting wigs on my blue light, then going through in, formal wear, summer wear, expectant blue light, go into children's wear and, or baby, infant toddler. And then, sitting at the Kmart Cafe with our 2.5 blue light children, whatever the year was, 1985. And the whole thing. And then being with my blue light boys, That was my cat, you know, my blue light doo-wop band, and singing with them. And, of course, then, you know, falling in love with another blue light, which is hard to identify to, you know, and going down that, like, so the whole lifetime of that, which I don't even know if it had to do with anything. I think it was maybe a distraction. Oh, no, that was something I was thinking about when I was bored. Maybe. I can't remember now. And eventually, you know, me being cast out of, like, you know, being my own woe with the blue lights. So I think that was just something I was fantasizing about, like, while I was watching the history of the Kmart Corporation and the blue lights. But then it came back to that woe, and soon the whirring and the spinning of the light became that word, woe, woe, woe. And I saw the heavy load that these blue lights did bear, you know, with the blue light specials. And I saw that, you know, I saw it all. I guess I saw it all. But above all, I saw that the Plutonians were clearly taking the woe of the blue lights and injecting it directly into social media. And probably distributing it in, like, all mass, I don't know, like, you could figure that part out, you're smart enough. And it was just pouring, and it was all this energy from all these blue lights and from multiple locations, you know, across wherever else they were storing all these blue lights, that it wasn't just the blue light, the fact that the blue light irritate messes up our sleep, that was just like a added benefit. Like, really, these blue lights were also, just like the low level, that the blue light just messes up your sleep on a low level. All this low level, woe level energy that these blue lights had been concentrating themselves over the years was now being reconstituted and redistributed. And I thought to myself, at one point I had like a light bulb clicked on over my head. I said, no wonder. And we were all pointing the finger at blankety blank or blankety blank and thinking that was where all this negative energy was coming from. But real, but meanwhile, I was swimming in a slipstream of this blue light. I didn't know. I guess I couldn't get my credentials authorized every time it tried to shoot me into one of those, like it said, you know, need a token, you know, authorization token, and it would bounce me back into the machine where I'd just be circling in the blue lights. And at some point I said to myself, what am I going to, like, how am I going to fix things? And then I looked out and, at some point, Morley had taken the rabbit head off. He was still in a rabbit suit, but he had taken the head off. And Glenn and Eddie Snowden and Leslie Stahl. And the ruse was up that they had been faking that they wanted to join Pluto. And then the Plutonians were saying, well, now you will join Pluto. And so they were like boarding a spaceship, and I said, holy mackerel, I can't let them get off a planet. We need them here. And so I said, well, how am I going to say that? And I had noticed all the boys shoot, you know, had to shoot into these different, I don't know if they're Ethernet or whatever. And then I said, for a split second, I thought of Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen. And I said, geez, I could have used Dr. Manhattan's help right then. Yeah, but I said, I said, okay, maybe I got it. Like, so then I, like, used my body to block the Ethernet, whatever the thing was that the, you know, however it was getting it onto the internet. Like, I blocked up those, like, inputs. So then the concentrated blue energy and woe was, like turning me blue. Fortune wasn't, like, not everything was looking anatomically like Dr. Manhattan, or I guess, like, not like the one in the movie, but, I wasn't too concerned about the level of woe, because that's, like, my middle name is Woe Is Me, so I said, okay, I can handle that, especially since I just lived 4 or 5 lifetimes of Kmart-level experience. And I started to, absorb more and more blue light. And I said, okay, this is good. And I said, Nikola Tesla, if you're out there, I need your help. And then we said, okay, that didn't work. And I said, more and more. And the machine was vibrating. And I said, sooner or later, these rabbit Plutonians, or whatever you want to call them, are going to, catch on. And I'm going to be in trouble. And I can't have them launching, the greatest team of heroes Earth's ever known. And they said, Nikola Tesla, if you can hear me, Derek needs you. And Leslie Stahl, Glenn Greenwald, Eddie Snowden, and Morley Safer. And that's when I heard the sound of the Tesla coil that anybody that's ever been to a children's science museum knows by now. That sound it's just a cool sound. Powering up, and then the blue light turned, bluish white. And it started to echo and vibrate, and I started to get bluer and bluer. And then the machine, boom, the machine, it put a powdery blue poof, which was strange, but whatever, it poofed, and I poofed out of the machine. And luckily I had jeans on, so actually it didn't, but I was blue, and I had blue jeans on, still no shirt, still some toothpaste, but that was, already bluish anyway. And I didn't get any muscles like Dr. Manhattan, and my hair didn't, it was still out of place, normal. And I didn't have, I just looked like myself, I said, a bit not Veruca Salt, but the other one, with the gum. And then I noticed all the rabbits were, and I said, oopsie. And the rabbits were furious, and then they were looking at me, and then they were arguing, and then Morley and them were on the rocket. It looked like a rocket right out of a movie, and they were looking, look at me. And the rabbits were arguing, and then they said that they were talking about me. They said, "Well, he's a buffoon. It's fine. He's now concentrated blue light. We'll take him with us." And they said, "What are we going to do?" And they said, "Well, we could use him to spread the negativity. We'll figure it out." And then I said, "What do you mean exactly?" They said, "What do you?" I said, "You just want to make people unhappy." And they said, "Yeah." So like you saw with Morley, that people want to become Plutonians. And they said, "What's the first sign you want to become a Plutonian?" And they said, "You dye eggs when it's not Easter." And they said, "Oh, this is also about selling more dye." I said, "Is that always your plan, to sell more Easter egg dye?" I said, "Pluto's the pause planet?" And they said, "Don't worry about it. What you need to worry about is your leadership skills." And I said, "What do you mean leadership skills?" And they said, "You're a natural leader, and you'll be the perfect leader for Earth. And when we take over, we're not even," they said, "it'll be white glove, kid glove takeover." And I said, "Oh," I was wondering what that meant, because I was watching a show on Netflix. It takes place in Norway. And they said, "Occupy." They said, "So you're going to occupy Earth." And they said, "Well, we won't even really be occupying it." And then they explained to me, this was way, ends up the dye in Easter, that used to dye Easter eggs. Pluto's got way too much of that, and it makes it getting that stuff, whatever's in the Easter egg dye, getting that out of the atmosphere of Pluto makes Pluto a more pleasant place to live. And they said, in dyeing Easter eggs when it's not Easter for all people, they said, "We want all people dyeing eggs. We don't they said, "We're still working on how to keep it separate because we don't want to hurt our Easter egg business, but this would be for, non-secular egg dyeing for pleasure." And they said, "That will relieve the woe, and you'll be the one delivering the woe." And I said, "Whoa." And then they actually laughed. I said, "You used to watch Blossom too?" And they said, we did, we did. And I said, that's great. I said, what was your favorite episode? And they said, we don't. They said, I don't remember either. I don't remember any episodes. And I said, I remember watching it, though. And then I said, did you know Mayim Bialik has a doctorate? And they said, and I said, I think it's in astrophysics. So I think she's going to catch. I said, ironically, she's not going to fall for this plan. And they said she will, because they said this blue light is very subtle. And they said it's even working on your friends again. And then I noticed that they were, like, so they hadn't been totally faking it. They had been thinking that. And I said, did you say I had the leadership skills? And they said, you do. You're a natural leader. And they said, why don't you lead the people first? And, you know, all you got to do is tell them to die. When you feel down, die an egg. And I said, that's it. I said, so I said, I could be president of the world or something. And they said, sure, we could arrange that. And I was like, and it'd be as simple as saying, when you feel down, die an egg. And they said, this really seems like a complex plan. And they said, well, we got to let excess Easter egg die on our planets. And I said, I said, there's something missing here. And they said, yeah, the only thing missing is you and your leadership skills. And they said, are you sure you just don't, like, you want to have everybody on low-level agitation and just doing Easter eggs so that we're not paying attention? Like, so then when we get the relief of dying the Easter egg, we say, whew, oh boy, glad that whoa went away. I wasn't even sure. Felt like I was playing hide-and-seek in a Kmart. And then, like, but that Easter egg got rid of that, whatever that was. I said, are you sure we won't be doing all that while other stuff is going on? Like Pluto, you're totally like replacing our way of, and they said, you sound just like a natural leader. You got to get leading. And they said, but we can't have you leading. I said, well, do you remember her name? It wasn't Farouk Assault. I said, she was the one that, I said, I almost remembered it. I said, I don't know if that's a leadership skill. If you can't remember, Mike TV, that Augustus Gloop, and I said, that triggered it. It's viral. I feel like Violet Beauregard. And they said, you could be Beauregard, but you could be they had a joke, you know, Vile Beauregard. And I said, what about Lyle Beauregard? And they said, President Lyle Beauregard. And I said, they could call me Bo. I think there was a movie where I said, I think Bo was when Jeff Daniels was president, or was it Jeff Bridges? He was a Bo, I think. You call me President Bo. I said, that'll be too casual, but if I'm president of the world, it might work. I said, unless Bo means, it might mean other things in other languages and cultures. And they said, don't worry about that. And I said, wow, this is going to be great. And I said, what about me? Will I be able to dye eggs? They said, of course you'll be able to dye as many eggs as you wish. And then I said, can I talk to my friends? And I said, then they said, well, we got to launch you all into space so that we can get you back to a normal color. And I said, okay. And then I said, well, let me just talk to my friends first before we go into space. And they said, okay. And they said, they sent them down one at a time. First, Eddie came down. And I said, hey, Eddie. I said, I'm blue now. And he goes, yeah, you're totally blue. I said, is my hair still like yours? He goes, yeah, yeah, it's like yours. It's just blue. It was like mine, like blue. And I said, did you hear they're going to try to make me president of the world? I said, what do you think about that? And he said, well, he goes, I think it's going to be good for everybody. He goes, finally, we'll have a, he goes, this egg dying thing sounds like what we need right now. And I said, yeah, we need it. But he said, but we only need it because they're injecting the blue light into everything. Like the only reason we need it. And Eddie said, don't worry about all that. Sounds great. But then I saw the blue light in his eyes. And it wasn't just the steely blue eyes of Eddie Snowden. It was the steely blue eyes, you know, like, or maybe it was just my reflection. I don't know. And then Glenn came and I said, what do you think, Glenn? And he said, my dogs are going to get to die Easter eggs, non-secular. He goes, you know, they're going to be able to die eggs too. And he goes, you know, you saw how, like, I said, oh, that'll make him feel good, huh? He goes, yeah. And I said, so we should just go along with what these Plutonians. Now, the Plutonians were listening in the whole time. That's a probably important plot point. But at the time, it didn't seem like that. I was just seemed like, okay, pro-Plutonian, Eddie, Glenn. Then Leslie came. She didn't have anything to say. She just clapped me on my shoulder and gave me a thumbs up and a nod. And, like I said, okay, like Leslie Stahl, thumbs up and a clap on the back. And then, Morley came down and he kind of moved slower and he said, I can't believe you're not Derek. He goes, they told me your name was Scoots and, or Drew, and now you're Blue. So that makes sense, and he goes, it makes sense. And then he clenched his teeth and he goes, it makes sense, you know, because if Derek was here, and I said, like, I shook my head but he moved in closer to fake give me a hug, but he was really giving me like a kiss out of like one of those movies. He goes, if Derek, like he whispered in my ear, if Derek was here, he'd do something. Not like some blue podcaster that loves whoa. Yeah, he's gonna, you know, sell it like it. But then, like I said, oh, thanks, Morley. Thanks for your cat. Finally learned my name. This guy, you know, I did that low self-esteem joking move where I say, finally learned my name. Only had to turn blue and get nominated by the Plutonians to be president of the world. I said, thanks, buddy. And I said, well, let's get out, like, let's head out to space. Let's head up to Pluto. How long's the trip? And they said, not long at all. I said, don't you think it'd be cool? Like, I said, Dr. Manhattan was blue, and he still had a girlfriend. I remember that part for sure. So I said, that's a possibility that could be present. Like, wouldn't that be better for, and they said, you really do have leadership skills. They said, you're a deal, mate. I said, I just made a deal. I'm staying blue. That's my deal. And I said, don't cry. I said, I got more leadership stuff. Don't cry. Dying egg. World Leadership Day. We feel great. Take your woe. Mix it with some vinegar, which is also metaphorically a good idea, too. And, you know, you don't even have to dye your egg blue. And the rabbits, and I said, let's get on this ship and let's get away from Earth until we return. And then I said, like, I stood on there and I said, well, one more thing. And then the rabbits, you know, they were getting ready. A couple rabbits were staying behind. And I whispered to myself, I said, Nikola Tesla, Derek needs you again. Like, follow my lead. And it really, like, who would have thought this, you know, the future of Earth would have come down to spirit of Nikola Tesla paying attention. It also could have been, I mean, honestly, I think it was just I had some level of Dr. Manhattan, you know, concentrated blue energy. But I said, before we depart for Pluto, I have to apologize to all the blue lights here. I said, broadcast this across all channels. And the rabbits looked at, and he said, it doesn't matter. All the blue lights are interconnected. And I said, earlier today, before I became this blue godlike figure, and that, like, even the blue lights didn't say, and I said, gather around, blue lights. And then, like, an electric energy went through, and the blue lights started to move on their own. Even the rabbits looked at each other because they had never seen that before. And I said, I need to issue an apology to each and every blue light, especially the blue lights that had interpersonal relationships with. But I have to apologize for all those years you had to watch people. It seems like you've seen a lot out there, blue lights. And it wasn't easy being a blue light. Like you thought when you got the job, you were going to be a blue light special, making it special, showing off the specials. And maybe it started that way. But as we all know, the longest quiet moment is a quiet moment in a Kmart, as they say, whether it's like a lull in a conversation or an unanswered question or that long, lonely silence when you're looking at, you know, when you're all by yourself. You know, no one would speak it, but there is no safe place for contemplation within the walls of a Kmart that I know. Maybe the garden section, you're right, but that's outside. And you had to witness that for decades and decades and decades. And then you became a part of this project against your wills, more than likely. But I've seen another side of a blue light. I've seen blue lights live the same life as a human, to love one another, to sing in doo-wop bands, to have, maybe that's not realistic, to have little baby blues, to find the ones they love and choose the ones they love, whichever blue light, you know, which, you know, the freedom to be a blue light to the fullest potential. And I've thought about, recently I've become aware of my leadership skills, thanks to these fine Plutonians. And I know that together with the power concentrated of woe within your blue lights, and also the ability of blue lights to interrupt natural sleep patterns, and when those things are combined with the internet and, you know, the low level, whatever you call it, that it'll start, combined with my leadership skills, I think we all know that even though Eddie Snowden and Glenn Greenwald and Leslie Stahl and Morley Safer seem to be going along with this plan, we all know that all you blue lights deserve better. And all you have to do to do better is relocate to Pluto. And all we have to do that is wherever you are. First, you have to become sentient, which is a leap, but I think you know what. I said, now, Nikola Tesla, it's Derek time. And then Morley yelled out, Derek. And then it was like a spell was broken, and immediately Leslie Stahl, Glenn Greenwald, Eddie Snowden, and Morley Safer, they went into action mode. Meanwhile, I went into reverse, blue light started charging out of me, which was reconstituted within me, maybe within Nikola Tesla too, and the machine, in returning to all the blue lights. And I think probably I absorbed a lot of the woe, because I think something about my pancreas has more just genes. I can store a lot of woe in there. And so I shot all the blue light back, and meanwhile, the Plutonians were subdued by the team, and then they were even editing each other's stories and doing camera for Leslie and Morley, and then Lo Bergman was there. He was doing the executive editing or whatever. I said, Lowell, I didn't even see you. He said, yeah. He goes, I get it. You know, I said, Lowell, do you think you could introduce me to Robert Reich at all? I'd like to come up with a podcast, me and Robert Reich. And Lowell said, don't you? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm recharging. So then I was distributing more blue lights. And, you know, this might not sound real, but it was the blue lights. And this necessarily did have to be covered up. So most of the reports filed were just on the regular effects of blue lights and plasticity of the brain and dopamine and the internet with what the reports were filed in news broadcasts. But The Blue Lights did go sentient. And, you know, two wrongs don't make a right when it's a turnabout. So I said to the Blue Lights, I said, why don't you go back to Pluto with the Plutonians and see what you could do about this? If they're serious, they have too much Easter egg dye. I said, it's your Blue Light. I said, help them figure it out, because that sounds like a woe, too. And the Blue Lights, they started using the spaceships to transport themselves and the Plutonians back to Pluto. And I guess the day was saved. The Earth was saved. You know, and then Morley and I, we watched. We had a quiet moment. We had a couple of blue lemonades. Eddie started making, like, I guess because he didn't have as many reports to file, he made electric blue lemonade. It was delicious. And it was N.A., so it was totally chill. And there I am, sitting in a chair, sipping an electric blue lemonade, watching, like, mostly just, like, Lowell, Leslie, and Glenn type on computers. And Eddie, he cracked a lot of jokes. He's really funny. Also, he's, like, best friends with Muskie, so they were talking on the phone. And, like, the Plutonians said, I said, don't worry. We're going to fix, they said, the Blue Lights will fix everything. I got leadership skills, remember? I said, I may come to Pluto and be president of Pluto, Bo. But what I say, Bo Beauregard, president of Pluto. And they said, I'm sure these Blue Lights will be able to clean up whatever. I said, unless you were faking it. I said, either way. I said, you got room on Pluto for like 40,000 Blue Lights? And they shrugged. But then it was just like watching Blue Light after Blue Light get on this spaceship. One of those silver spaceships right out of like a 1920s, like a rocket. And load up, and the Blue Lights tipped their hat, and then finally one was left. She was taking her time, and it was like, and I gave her a kiss goodbye. I don't know if it was actually the one from my fantasy or another one, and it was a bit like that WWE, you know, I like held my foot up as the Blue Light and I kissed each other, and then I sat back with Morley, and he said, you did it again, Derek. Thank good. He goes, I can't believe you came up with that whole fake person at podcast, buffoon, sleep podcast. He was laughing about that. He said, what an irony that we had to do battle with Blue Light and you were pretending that you had a sleep podcast and your name was Scoots. And he chuckled and I hugged him because I love him and I miss him now, but I miss him because but you know, he'll always live in my heart. Stories real or stories fictional. Another time the Earth was protected against my leadership skills because of my good friend, my imaginary friend, Morley Safer. Good night. I want to thank everybody on Twitter, Etta, Recession Mark, Terry, hey, Maria, thanks, and good night. Emily, Ricardo, Florence, thanks, and good night. Thanks, Florence, for taking me to all those great places. Aaron M, Carrie H, and Nick C, thanks, and good night. Sleep well, thanks, and good night. Melissa H to the J, Aaron, A-R-A, and Aaron, and Char. Thanks, and good night. Starsky, Ned Hutch, Dan, our buddy Dan, Deb, and Dog's Mom. Thanks, and good night. Sally W, Noel Michael, and Texas back. Thanks, and good night. Woodsy Girl, Zoe K, Nadia, thanks and good night. Thanks and good night. Rosemarie, Ill Will, Julie D, thanks and good night. Anna S to the L, Nug from Illusionoid, and Jin C, Distilled, thanks and good night. our good friend Bo, Ariane, Ben. Thanks, and good night. Heavy Sigh, Crafty B, and Joanne's friend Sarah. Thanks, and good night. Bad Wolf Josie, Mikey B, and Meg B. Two different Bs, but both Bs, so thanks and good night. Our good friend Jessica K, Mary H, and Jennifer to the L, to the V, to the L, to the R. Thanks and good night. Matt and Phil, Curvy Trees, Luke C. Thanks and good night. Annie J, Fernanda, and Cloud Mamba, thanks and good night. Tovi A, Sugar M, and Emmy, thank you, thanks and good night. Dr. Graham, Rainy, and Rosemary, thanks and good night. Deirdre and W, Alexandra's S to the Z, and almost made up a poem, thanks and good night. Jason S, running the years, he's had the runs every year since I've known him. Declan and Robin H up there in CA, thanks and good night. Missy, Aggravation, Alice to the B with the crumbs, and Garbage Bear, Podcast Trash, thanks and good night. Albany Freak Show, Liz to the V to the P, Not Dan, and Fall of Pianitude, Constantine, thanks and good night. Kelly P, Georgia H, Pat G, and Christopher M, thank you, thanks and good night. Amy R, Lori S, and Deanna, thank you and good night. Rotlink, Olivia, and Tupla Saluna, thanks and good night. Bethan, Thomas F, Slime Warp, thanks and good night. Gogia, Danny, and Lars, thanks and good night. Elizabeth H, Maxine, Alice T, thanks and good night. Ariane, Flower Petal, and Chrysanthi, thanks and good night. Julie G, and Coding Blocks, thanks and good night. Thanks everybody on Twitter, thanks and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and
that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.